show here something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
The Cell Signal Storm Podcast.
I gave a speech over the weekend, and I was talking to the Weiss Republican women, and they invited me to come out. There's a room of 250 some odd people, maybe a little more, and they told me it was around 240 people responded, but it looked to be a lot more than 250 people in that auditorium, and a lot of quote-unquote luminaries, individuals who are part of Texas government, those who go to Washington, D.C., and those who go to Austin. And the subject of my talk is something that I have been on rather consistently. And I think it bears repeating here because I think the premise will help all of you within the sound of my voice kind of figure out where you are in this entire discussion. Because despite what some in the biased press and some elected people want to tell you, you are supposed to be a part of this discussion. So the observation I made was this. When I say the word Democrat, you know exactly what that means. You know the values that Democrats universally love, admire, and push and vote for. For example, death. They can't get enough of the death of children in the womb. They can't get enough of death of the elderly. They can't get enough of death due to crime in our streets. That's another aspect. They're pro-criminal. They're anti-rule of law. Their solution to those who break the law is to penalize the law-abiding, i.e. guns. When somebody commits a terrible crime with a gun, the first place they go is at those who have never committed a crime with a gun. And they go soft on those who commit crimes with guns. So there's that aspect. Did you guys hear what was going on in Memphis? In Memphis, five black police officers in a Democrat-run city, in a majority-minority-run city, left-wing extremists, they can now, because they're so pro-criminal there, they can hire cops who have felony convictions. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So five black cops beat a black man to death, and they call it in the biased press white supremacy. I kid you not. I kid you not. So that's the level of intellect and honesty that Democrats are known for. So whenever I say the word Democrat, that's the kind of thing you think about. There was a story that came, they took down the Teddy Roosevelt statue in New York in front of one of the museums out there because, I don't know, he was an example of white supremacy. And they put up an abortion idol. An abortion idol. It's the damnedest thing. And it's ugly. I'm not exactly sure what this thing is. But they are replacing our symbols of America with their anti-God symbols. So that's what Democrats stand for. They're anti-God. They're anti-faith. What else do the Democrats stand for? Oh, open borders. The sexualization of our children. The sex trade. Illicit drugs coming into the country. The militarization of our border by other countries other than us. So, now, I'm going to go through the same exercise with the word Republican. What does Republican mean to you? And I know you guys are all probably sitting there listening to this podcast going, no, damn, I don't know. I don't know what Republicans stand for. Mitch McConnell is a, quote, Republican, and so too is Ted Cruz. Josh Hawley is a Republican, but so too is John Cornyn, allegedly. And they're diametrically opposed. They have no unifying principles. They can't even unite to oppose socialists. That's how wayward and rudderless and vacuous and stupid the current Republican leadership is. They have no unifying principles. They can't say, this is what we oppose. They can't even be unified in opposing Democrats, i.e. the Texas House, upon winning the majority, wanting to put Democrats in charge of key committees to kill conservative agenda items. When we get a chance to talk to conservatives who are actually Republicans too, it's quite refreshing. I'll talk to one of them next in the Texas Senate on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Genital mutilation is happening to Texas kids. These abusive medical practices are being pushed by the radical woke leftists in our state. You can go to TexasScorecard.com to learn more and get real news for real Texans.
Let's have a conversation with State Senator Mays Middleton. Represents the 11th Senate District here in the state capitol. He lives in Galveston with his family. Mays is president of Middleton Oil Company, an independent oil and gas company. Also runs ranching, cattle, and farming operations. So a well-versed businessman. Senator, welcome to the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for having me on.
Your big issues as we're coming into session, what are they?
So I think one of the biggest undone things that we've got is educational choice. You know, and that's money following every child. There's about 30 states that have implemented some form of educational choice program. And unfortunately, Texas is not one of them.
Yeah, it's a big priority for us, too. And I'm sad to report that we are still among the knuckle dragging states that do not recognize the virtue of putting the parents in charge. And I got to be honest with you, Senator, it's because the legislature doesn't have the money, doesn't have the time or the inclination to police these school districts and make sure they're behaving. So that should be up to the parents. Let me give you a story to maybe buttress this. Republican Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin is livid today, slamming education officials in his state. They actually denied merit scholarships to students because those students didn't fit their idea of equity. So they actually withheld the information that those students had won merit scholarships. And then some of these administrators, because they so believe in this equity BS that our government education system is sold out to, They notified the children that they had won, but only after the deadline, so they couldn't take advantage of the scholarship money because they're so committed, because these kids were the wrong color for success, because I'm assuming they were white. What do you say about the corruption that GovEd has descended into?
This is really about empowering parents. At the end of the day, what we need to do as a state is put more tools on the table and put them in their hands. And frankly, it's about trusting the moms and dads in our communities to decide which educational options work best for their children. Because look, at the end of the day, kids belong to their parents and not the government. So that's really what educational choice is about.
Amen. Amen to that. And the problem will not be in the Senate. The problem is going to be, I'm sorry to say, Senator, inside of your own party. On the House side, there are air quotes Republicans who have gone on record sticking their finger in the faces of parents, saying, "I am going to do everything I can to make sure you never get choice. Education is government's job," they say with a straight face. And actually, we've got allies on the Democrat side, Harold Dutton, I'm thinking of, on the House side, who believes in not sacrificing the next generation to turn GovEd into an adult jobs program. But Republicans in the House, they call themselves Republicans, are the main obstacle to this. How do we surmount that?
Well, we've got a huge obstacle with taxpayer-funded lobbyists as well. So sadly, parents' own tax dollars are being used to lobby against them and what they want. And, you know, it was taxpayer-funded lobbyists that we saw on the national level that asked Joe Biden to investigate parents as domestic terrorists just because they wanted to make their voice heard in school board meetings. And then in the state of Texas, we've got Texas Association of School Boards, which has integrated critical race theory into their statement of beliefs. Just last week, they put out a memo that encouraged boys to go into girls' restrooms and for school districts to not adopt policies banning that. And then also, you know, last session, we saw taxpayer-funded lobbyists that were against the Protect Girl Sports Bill. You know, so our own tax dollars, parents' own tax dollars, are being used to lobby against them to deny them a choice in which type of education their child gets.
The governor, lieutenant governor, and yes, even the speaker has been on this show committing to parental school choice, that there will at least be a vote on parental school choice. Lay this out for us, because I know that you're keeping an eye on the politics. Will those promises be fulfilled? Will we get an up or down vote, and will every legislator be forced to go on the record as to whether or not they support parental school choice?
Well, you heard the lieutenant governor say on the stage at his inauguration, he is all in for educational choice, and the governor said he wants to empower every single parent, and that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that every Texas child is eligible for an educational choice program, and every single Texas parent gets to decide what's best for their child. And look, we've got a lot of great public schools. We've got a lot of great public school teachers. But, you know, there's a group that I heard from the other day. It's a group of current public school ISD teachers that support educational choice and are going to come up and testify in support of this bill, because at the end of the day, it's about parents. That's really all this is about.
True.
Parental rights and empowering them and making sure money follows their child, whether that's private school, whether that's homeschool curriculum, whether it's tutoring or educational therapies or community college classes or online classes, that is totally up to them, because no one knows a child better than their parent.
Absolutely. And you know what? Those teachers will also benefit from a school choice atmosphere, because then educational institutions will be able to pay the overwhelming majority of our good teachers what they're worth. And that money will be, it'll be a free market. So these teachers will become commodities. And if GovEd wants to stick with the denying of science, the teaching of LGBTQ, ABCD, EFG, cultural Marxism, if they want to teach racism against whites, feel free to do so. But try to do that with so many parents leaving your schools. Those GovEd systems may have some choices to make, and life is about choices, isn't it? We're talking to Senator Mays Middleton, my friends, 11th Senate District here in the great state of Texas. Your biography we read at the top talks about your experience with energy, and I wanted to talk with you about that, because there was an article that came out in the Texan.news, it's the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, versus the legislature, versus the governor. Look, I'm a very simple guy when it comes to this, Mr. Middleton. I believe that Texas should have a baseload capacity of reliable thermal generation, natural gas, because we're abundant in it and it's clean burning. And then we should have the green energy as a supplemental, and we should have a baseload capacity plus 10%. And that seems very simple to me. What's the holdup?
Well, so unfortunately, our grid has been put in bad shape by intermittent renewables, because they're not delivering when we need them. And really, the solution to that is more reliable thermal baseload generation, because at the end of the day, this is about energy density, right? And making sure that we have reliable power at an affordable price for everyone in the state of Texas. And renewables don't do that, because guess what? When the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing, they're not working.
True.
And for example, you know, over the Christmas freeze, we have about $66 billion that has been spent on renewable energy, and only 4 or 5% of it was working. That's not a very good return for our money. And second of all, Texas doesn't need to be subsidizing Joe Biden's Green New Deal.
Amen.
We don't need to be doing that.
And well, it started out as Obama's, but he carried on the legacy. And by the way, during the Christmas freeze, two communities couldn't get natural gas. Couldn't get natural gas because everybody's all in on this carbon-free nonsense, which is scientifically unsustainable. And look, the bridge fuel of the future is the abundant natural gas. And I think that is why so many of these left-wingers are trying to ban gas stoves all over the country, because that energy is abundant, that energy is cheap, and that energy is reliable and clean. And they don't want us. They want us enslaved. They don't want us free. So that's why they're trying to poo-poo the use of natural gas. Fair?
Well, what the left stands for is what has happened to California. You know, the government essentially runs their power grid, and they say don't charge your electric vehicles, right? You know, because we're out of power. But, you know, they're banning, meanwhile, they're banning gas-powered cars.
Mm-hmm. True enough. True enough. Senator, you're kind of in and out there with the cell signal, so I'm going to give you a chance to reestablish your connection. And Senator Mays Middleton is our guest right now. He represents the 11th Senate District here in the great state of Texas in Austin. He lives in Galveston with his family, and as you heard, he is the president of Middleton Oil Company, so you know, he knows a lot about energy. Let me pivot, if I can, to the border, Senator. Do you think the state of Texas is doing all we can to stop illegal immigration into the United States, into Texas in particular?
Well, Texas is under an invasion. I bet you saw yesterday the numbers came out that we had a record number of illegal border crossings. So, you know, what we need to do is continue to stand up in a big way to fill the role of the federal government, because at the end of the day, that's supposed to be the federal government's job, and they are willfully disregarding it. So we need to continue the wall. We need to make sure that we're continuing to charge illegal immigrants with criminal trespass, and make sure that they're deported, and make sure our laws are enforced, our border security laws are enforced, and these deportations, especially keeping Title 42 in place, are happening.
All right. Well, we're going to have a conversation with Tom Homan. He is the former acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement in short order. So we're going to ask him and expand on that. Senator Mays Middleton, if folks want to help you out in your efforts, including giving parents school choice, is there a website you've set up, or is it just your Capitol website?
So you can go to the Capitol website, and I'm on the Senate Education Committee. So later, perhaps late in February or early March, we'll have a hearing on educational choice legislation, and we would love to have the Capitol flooded with parents that, you know, want to see those options for their children and make sure that the educational choice bills before the legislature become law.
Senator, you have a standing invite to come back on this program and preview that so you can get the word out, and maybe we'll get you on the Newsmax show. I'm going to be, as I said, I'm going to have to admit to the nation that Texas is among the knuckle-dragging states that doesn't allow a parental school choice, but we will highlight your efforts to change that. Senator Mays Middleton, appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you, Chris.
And that there, my friends, going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Check out a couple of websites, won't you please? First one is TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com. You've got to see some of the great investigative work they are doing there. They are highlighting how this just nutty and filthy and crazy transvestite story hour phenomenon is infecting Texas and is harming our children and the efforts to push back on all of it. So make sure you check that out. Also check out ChrisSalcedo.com. There you can find the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. And you can also find us on Newsmax TV, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 5 Eastern. So until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. See ya.